Oh, what can I do, my dear, to catch your ear? I love you madly, madly, Madam Librarian, Marion. Heaven help us if the library caught on fire.
Brooklyn Public Library has its own new Madam Librarian. Earlier this month, the Board of Trustees announced Linda Johnson as president and CEO. After serving as interim president for the last year, she takes over as the entire public library system in the city, really three separate systems technically, face budget cuts. And yet somehow the Brooklyn Public Library has avoided staff cuts and is increasing service. It makes you wonder how they do it. And maybe they could teach the folks in Washington a thing or two. Brooklyn Public Library president and CEO Linda Johnson joins me now to explain how they're managing in this economy. Linda, welcome to WNYC. Congratulations on your appointment.
Thanks very much.
Starting September 10th, I see the library will increase service by 441 hours or by 21%, despite a cut in the budget of $1.1 million in this fiscal year. How are you doing that?
Well, I inherited a great team who over the last 5 or 6 years had made incremental changes in the way they did business. They started buying books that were ready for the shelf when they arrived. They started to use self-checkout, and they started to do business without actually taking cash. You could pay your fines with a debit card. And all of these little changes actually reduced the amount of time that librarians needed to be in the library before patrons arrived. But they hadn't taken that final step. They hadn't actually shifted the schedule to accommodate all of these little things that had been going on. And so we took a step back because we were really, you know, with our backs against the wall and said, well, how are we going to manage if we get a 30% budget cut, which is what we were facing? And the answer is that librarians are now in the library when patrons are there, and they're spending their time with their customers instead of spending their time in the libraries before the customers get there.
That's great. This 441 additional hours, that's a funny number. I don't know what that means. Is that an annual number over all the branches? Or
yeah, it's a number that is across all the branches, and it's a number on a weekly basis. We think about how many hours of service we provide a week. And the idea really is that we've added, in many cases, an extra day of service in some branches that were closed on Saturdays. So now there'll be 6 day service in over 16 branches, and we'll have longer service in some of the branches that we're closing with a shorter day.
And earlier this year, you avoided proposed budget cuts north of $25 million, from what I've read. How did you work with the city council to make that happen?
Well, that's quite an arduous process. I had a lot of good support from city council. I think that the most critical thing is that the members of city council truly understand the value that libraries bring to a community, the sort of adhesive kind of quality that they create. And so they were fighting hard for us as well. And that makes our job a lot easier when you're sort of in step with council.
Is one of your arguments that public libraries are even more necessary in bad economic times, partly for job seekers, partly for people who don't have internet access, students, whatever?
Yeah, well, in any time, internet access is critical. And we're sort of in a second wave of Andrew Carnegie's vision. You know, when he started the public library movement over 100 years ago, the issue was who had access to knowledge, you know, via books. And books are still important. I love a book as much as anybody. But, you know, it doesn't really matter what the container is. People need access to information in order to be productive in their communities. And today, despite the fact that 98% of the borough is covered by internet access, only about 60% of the households actually have it. So you can't, in this society, actually apply for a job without having an email box and access to the web. And so people are coming to the libraries to get that access and also to get job counseling from us.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for calls. Brooklynites, you have your library director here in our studio. What do you want to tell her about your branch or ask her, library users? What are you using the library for besides just checking out books, containers, as she called them, of the old-fashioned kind? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, if you use the Brooklyn Public Library. Schools are also facing budget cuts and often don't have the benefit of a good library. How do you work with public schools? How do you envision the library's role in public education into the future.
Yeah. Our librarians, especially the ones out in the field, are great at this, at sort of outreach, we call it, and trying to make sure that the books that we have in the libraries are books that are being assigned in schools. But frankly, one of the things that I need to do in my role is to do a better job of coordinating with the school system and figuring out how we can partner in a way that's more productive for the borough's children.
There are over 60 branches of the Brooklyn Public Library, right?
That's correct.
And schools without libraries, I think, can often be in neighborhoods with weaker branch libraries. So what do you do to strive for equity in the different branches in the different neighborhoods?
Well, we actually have a branch system that is would really be the envy of anyone. We're in all the neighborhoods, and many of them, frankly, are in neighborhoods that have a significant number of people living below the poverty level. So I think it's not so much about where they're located, but rather what we do in those branches to help the schools along. And we have the benefit right now of a grant through the Recovery Act, in 8 branches, actually, in the northern part of the borough, where we're enhancing technology, faster broadband speeds, and laptop loaners, and counselors who can help people of all ages and at all levels become more proficient with existing technology.
On our website, question from Eric Kay from Sheepshead Bay, who writes, question on the book donation policy changed in July. Mm-hmm. Is it the case that the Brooklyn Public Library no longer accepts donations?
We will accept donations once a year. October the 1st, it's coming up, so people should create their packages of books now.
This is book donations. You will always accept monetary donations.
Oh, yes. Any minute of the day, any day of the year. But in terms of books, it was actually something that I looked at early on. It costs us quite a lot of money to accept books. And we have our own issues in terms of keeping our collections current. It's a term called weeding, but libraries also are constantly curating the collection in a way to make sure that it meets the needs of the community. So no one likes to throw a book away. And we're hoping that by once a year collecting books from people who have those that they're not using anymore, and then having an enormous book sale, which is what we're doing, that we sort of meet the needs of the community, make people feel better about what they're doing with their old books, and also raise a little money for the library.
Shoshana in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Shoshana.
Hi. I'm a graduate student in Manhattan. I live in Brooklyn, and often I would love to study in my local branch, but I find that there aren't the electronic databases, Harp Week, and periodicals that I need, and I wanted to know if you will be expanding your electronic databases.
We will be. It's not something that will happen overnight. I believe that technology is the key to our future on many different levels. One of the first things that we're doing, and actually we break ground this fall, is we're building something called an information commons. It will be in the central library, but it will have databases and it will have counselors. It will not be a place to just access the web. It will be a place for people to truly work and learn about what kind of resources are out there, digital and otherwise.
But those scholarly databases, is that something you leave to the university libraries?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me that, because we are a public library, not an academic library. And our charge is to meet, you know, sort of the community's needs, which is significantly different than what a student or a university need might be. But I will say that this information commons that I've mentioned is something that we have borrowed from the academic library. We're trying to tweak it in a way that allows us to make a big difference in the community.
On our comments page, Rachel in Park Slope asks, can you ask about the status of the renovation to the Park Slope branch? It's been closed for many, many months, but never actually seems anyone is working at the site. No workers, no trucks, no equipment. What's happened?
Yes, I've inherited this problem, and it's a beautiful branch, and I promise you that it will be open within a year. DDC, the city agency that we work with on construction projects, promises actually that it will be ready by early spring. We're pushing to make that happen sooner, and it will be a beautifully renovated Carnegie Library.
Edward in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi there. Edward, go ahead.
Yes, I have a quick question. Whenever they go to the library these days, I never find a new edition of a book. I can find the old edition of the same author, but I cannot find a new edition of the same author, and I like the recent ones.
You mean you mean nonfiction books that are updated?
Yes, nonfiction books. Yes, I mean, I don't want to say the book's name, Thomas, but I never, when later I've been there, I never find the new ones.
Do you have a policy on that? When to get a later edition of the same nonfiction book?
I don't know the answer to that question. Actually, we have a lot of people who are in what's called our collections department who purchase books for the borough, and a lot of it is based on demand and trying to sort of meet such a large 2.5 million person community.
And Joan in Midwood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a question about the sort of automated way of taking out books and returning them. I love the library. I love my branch. I've contributed. I've written to Mayor Bloomberg. But I'm concerned about the fact that when a patron returns books, you just put them in media, any supplies, anything that you've checked out, you just put them in a slot and hope that everything is processed properly. What happens if there's a discrepancy and someone, you know, you go home and find out that you owe money on something that you've returned? You don't get a receipt. Hmm.
But I bet you're glad that the slots are there so you don't have to only do it during library hours.
Well, I think that the slots that I'm referring to, it's been my experience that they're inside. I'm not sure about the outside ones. I don't know about that.
All right. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to run out of time in a minute. Linda?
Actually, you know, if you have a fine that you believe is not fair, there's always a person there that you can speak to and get it resolved.
So libraries are not just for taking out books anymore. You can get a passport at the library now. You can check out movies. Why pay Netflix? There's computer access, of course, free events, including Wi-Fi, by the way.
We're the largest provider of Wi-Fi in the borough.
Bring your own computer.
Absolutely.
You don't have to
wait
online.
We encourage you to do that.
For a terminal. You know we have writer Jonathan Safran Foer with his brother Franklin Foer.
I'm excited about that. He works in the Central Library on the second floor, I'm told.
Really?
Yes. He lives in Park Slope.
You mean that's where he writes?
That's where he writes, yeah.
How about that? I have read that Jonathan writes all over town, that he doesn't like working in his office, that he, you know, if we think of the writer, the novelist, as somebody who works in isolation, that he's the opposite of that. Maybe we'll clear that up. And Banned Book Week starts September 24th. The list of books commonly banned around the U.S. reads like a list of classics, The Great Gatsby, Of Mice and Men, All the King's Men. Do you ever get challenges to books, or you have favorite banned books?
We do get challenges. I don't know that there are any favorites yet. I don't think I've been there long enough to see the repeats. But we, of course, take every challenge very seriously. What would life be without those?
Linda Johnson, she was the interim president, now appointed as the permanent president and CEO of the Brooklyn Public Library, and expanding total library hours by 441 hours a week, despite some budget cuts from the city. Congratulations again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, The Foer Brothers, next.